ABC Radio Australia.
We look at Fiji's political landscape. It's just got a tad more crowded ahead of its upcoming general elections. The newly registered One Nation Party has become the country's 10th political party, mostly made up of former Fiji First Party members. So what does another political party really mean for everyday Fijians? Helping us to unpack this more is Professor of Comparative Politics at the Victoria University in New Zealand, Dr. John Frankel. That I say, kia ora, Professor. Great to have you back on the show.
Kia ora, Yandra.
And thank you very much for joining us. I do want to ask, before we do actually just talk about this new party, are you aware of when Fijians are going to go to the polls? Is there an election date that has come through?
Well, I think Rambuk has made, the Prime Minister has made clear that it'll be sometime between December and the latest it can be under the Constitution is February 2027. Hmm. So we're looking at an election over that period.
Yeah, I mean, right now there is a review on the Constitution happening, but do we know if Fiji will use that 2013 Constitution for the election?
I think it's highly unlikely. I've thought that highly unlikely right from the beginning, and I still think so. There simply isn't enough time in order to put a new constitution in place. And also the processes that are being followed and are inadequate to the purpose of putting a new constitution in place. We've faced a very strange situation where the former largest party is being kind of liquidated. Parliament urgently needs a new refreshed mandate in order to embark on a constitutional review, I think.
Mm. Okay, well, Professor, how significant is this entry, you know, of this new party, One Nation, into Fiji's political landscape?
Well, I think it is significant because the core question that everyone has been asking about the next election is what is going to happen to the vote that went to Fiji First at the last election. Fiji First was the party of Frank Bainimarama, the 2006 coup leader that had managed to win elections in 2014 and 2018. In 2014 with a big majority, but it lost in 2022. So it was capturing a lot of the support of the Fiji Indian share of the population and a significant ethnic Fijian vote share. So the question has been, where is that vote going to go? And there are lots of parties and individuals that are sort of seeking to get themselves elected on the basis of that vote, but this is one of them, this new sort of oddly named One Nation Party. I assume they didn't consider the Australian connotations of that before they adopted that name.
Yes, I was going to ask whether or not you thought there was any coincidence on the name and if there are any policies similar to the one here in Australia that Pauline Hanson runs.
I think it would be very difficult to mimic Pauline Hanson's policies in Fiji. It's a very different kind of place. I assume that that party is by using the name One Nation, is probably trying simply to emphasise its nationalist orientation and its attempt to overcome ethnic cleavages within Fiji. And I don't think that will translate into any particular immigration policy, for example.
Well, Professor, as you were talking about, you know, the significance of this new party and the fact that it is, majority of this new party is made up of former Fiji First members. I'm just wondering then, how do you think this will strengthen their place as serious contenders for the upcoming elections?
Well, the presence of Bainimarama at that press launch as a figurehead is obviously very significant, but he himself cannot contest in the next election because he's been convicted of various crimes. Even though he didn't serve a full year, nevertheless, it's the conviction that counts. The other key figures here are, yes, as you mentioned, some Fiji First individuals, Ketan Lal and Fayaz Koya, for example. But a key player in this is also Tupou Dranidalo, who was not a Fiji First politician on the contrary. She used to be president of the National Federation Party and then stood for a new party called the Hope Party in 2018. And I think they got about 0.6% of the votes. So they didn't do very well back then. And we're still waiting. I mean, key figures in Fiji First have still not put their cards on the table. Some, like Ayaz Saeed Kem, are facing all sorts of court charges and will be lucky to remain out of jail. But there are others, like Pravin Bala, Premila Kumar, Alvin Maharaj, that haven't yet made clear where their political loyalties lie. And of course, the former Fiji First split. There's another faction in Fiji First that allied themselves with the government, and they're also contesting as part of a separate party.
Mm. Now, are you actually aware of any of One Nation's policies? Anything that you think would maybe make them stand out amongst the other parties?
Well, I think that they'll certainly claim to be kind of anti-ethnic cleavages and not sort of oriented towards the indigenous ethno-nationalist side of politics, as Bainimarama did when he was in office, and that's already conveyed in a sense in the name of the party. They have made claims about standing for good governance and opposing social inequality, but then I expect many of the parties will make that kind of position in their campaigns.
Mm. If you're just joining us here on Pacific Beat, I'm your host, Angie Dubois. We are speaking with Professor Dr. John Frankel, trying to unpack this new political party, One Nation. What does that actually mean for everyday Fijians with the upcoming elections? Professor, what kind of challenges do you think, though, that they'll face, I suppose, coming up? Like, I ask that only because, will voter turnout maybe cost them as a new party, you know, because I understand previous years, you know, this has actually steadily declined.
Yes, and I would not be surprised at all if the next election were not a low turnout election, because it's the previous elections, there were sort of sharper divisions between the pro and anti-coup side, the pro-Bainimarama side, the anti-Bainimarama side, and you may find that that's not quite as acute this time around. From the point of view of the One Nation Party and these former Fiji First politicians who are trying to campaign, in the past, of course, they did so from a position of incumbency. Fiji First was able to win the election with a thumping majority back in 2014 because they were the government, and they managed to conveyed a message that if there wasn't a big Fiji First victory, there might well be another coup. That was also the message in 2018. It's quite a different thing trying to win an election from a position in the opposition. So I think they will struggle.
Mm. Well, with all elections, what should voters be looking for?
Well, this election is going to be an interesting one because it's the first one where voters will be pretty certain that Frank Bainimarama is not coming back as Prime Minister and that Fiji First is not going to be the government. I expect that a lot of people that might have thought twice about contesting during previous elections, this time around, this would be the election that you can expect to see a new generation of politicians coming forward. The constitution is a big issue. It's pretty clear that the constitution will not be changed ahead of this election, but it may well be changed afterwards. And therefore, voters will have to think about which political parties they want in office to deliberate about a new constitution. I think those are crucial issues, as is economic growth and the decline of the sugar industry. I was just looking at the data from the Reserve Bank quarterly bulletin, and it's astonishing that Fiji's sugar exports are only one quarter of the level of bottled water exports over the last 5 years, so much as the Fiji's sugar industry declined. So there is a restructuring and an economic major economic changes going on in Fiji, which the new government will have to manage.
Well, yeah, look, while I have you, and as we wrap up, Professor, how do you actually rate Sitiveni Rambuka's popularity? I mean, do you think his People's Alliance Party will come back as the lead party in government?
Well, I think they certainly are a strong incumbent political party. They don't face a lot of rivals for the indigenous vote. SODELPA, which used to be the major indigenous party, split badly at the last election, and those splits haven't gone away, particularly since their leadership wanted to actually go with part of their leadership wanted to go with Fiji First, which was very unpopular amongst most of the rank and file. I think Rambuka's People's Alliance started off well with kind of moves to get rid of media censorship, restore grants to the University of the South Pacific, allow the ashes of Brij Lal to be returned to his birthplace on Vanua Levu, the Pacific historian. But they've rather lost their way on a few things, including MPs granting themselves pay rises in a very mishandled way, a lot of reshuffles that were badly handled, and above all, this commission of inquiry that was launched into the FICAC appointments, which was grossly mishandled. This curious Australian judge making this odd comment about being enlisted to hunt out the crocodiles in the pond suggests some degree of internal rivalry within the People's Alliance, which has to be overcome if they're going to move back into government after this next election.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something that we'll try and look into. But Professor, really appreciate you coming on the show this morning, just giving a little bit of insight into the current political landscape there in Fiji.
Vinaka.
That is Professor of Comparative Politics at the Victoria University in New Zealand, Dr. John Frankel, right here on Pacific Beat.